Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful time you've gotten us into here. It is awesome. You said you have there are people up in heaven wishing they were here with us now. And Lord, we thank you that it's going to be an awesome time here shortly. We're going to have the things of the kingdom that are going to be down here on earth, and that they already are. We praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all of the mysterious and secretive things that you're doing in this world. And we praise you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives, too, Lord. Get rid of the flesh. Get rid of the distraction. Get rid of all the things that has hindered our walk with you, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord. I repent from being distracted. I repent from doing all the things that have hindered my walk with you, Lord, because we all, every one of us, want that closeness and walk with you, Lord, that we can hear you, see you, and talk with you, and hold your hand, you hold ours, and we can just shout and run around together. That'd be awesome, Lord. Thank you, Father, all that you're doing. And I thank you, Lord, for warming up this weather too, back up in the 80s, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, I thank you for when I go over there at the. No, I'm not going to say that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Well, Lord, go ahead, Julie.
While I was being distracted today on the internet, I just came across just some, disheartening stuff, just about all the racism out there and people doing just terrible things and accusing others and just playing the race card. And Father, I hate what I read sometimes. It's so discouraging. And I know that people need Jesus. We need the man child. Yeah, Father, I would just bind up these spirits of hatred and pride and racism and all this division that's here, Lord. And I pray for grace. I pray for repentance, Lord. I ask that you will soften hearts. I help pray and ask God that you will work in the hearts of these people, Lord, who are constantly accusing and just slinging their mud and their critical and judgmental thoughts and just trying to justify their race, color, or why they are the way they are. And it's just heartbreaking to see the stuff that's out there, Lord. And we need Jesus. We need the man child so desperately, Lord. And there's just so much hatred. And I pray for unity, God. I pray that you put love in our hearts for these people who don't know any better. And that you are working, that you're working, Lord, and that people are able to see through all of that, what they see and read and hear. And we bind up all those spirits of offense. And I thank you, Lord, for doing more than we can ask or think. And I know you're using all this, and you're dividing people unto yourself. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll use all this to help people see what really matters. And it's not about what color people are, it's about what's in their heart. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in all of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for taking the distraction, making us want to overcome the distractions, Lord, placing it in our hearts to always want to seek you over and above entertainment. And we praise you for that, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Lord, we thank you for Bobby Kennedy that is going after the chemtrail people. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to shut them down, take away the money from the people that are doing this, And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's not going to be long either, that they're going to shut them all down all over this United States. Not only the United States, but the world. In Jesus' name. They don't do anything but harm. That's what they're for. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Well,
Please, go ahead. Go
I
ahead.
wanted to add to that about the chemtrails. Well, we just send the angels to help out with that. It occurred to me the other day. I'm not quite sure what triggered it, but we forbid those chemtrails to even take off in the name of Jesus. They don't to not even get in the air, and when we see them, tell them to come down. Well, we just send the angels to shut those plane down and all the equipment and destroy the chemicals, and that they can't do any of it, and once again take their money. And even these companies that are being hired now that the Air Force isn't doing it, we ask you to Father, to put the fear of God in them, and that they would, no amount of money would cause them to commit these crimes of what they're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name, and grant them repentance, Lord, and just salvation, Lord. You're elect among them that's done this and is doing this, or whatever. So we just forbid any of the planes to be able to take off. We just shut them down, disable them before they even get going, in Jesus' name. And when we do see them, we just say, nope, that's not what I prayed. That's a lie. I don't receive it. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Barbara, go ahead.
So the Air Force isn't doing the chemtrails now?
I don't know. That's why we hired Bobby. I don't know. I don't know who's doing them.
Oh, okay, I thought I heard Missy say that they weren't doing them or something.
No, they're doing them all over.
I heard that the Air Force was doing it, but they're supposed to be shutting them. They've stopped doing it. I think this is what I heard, and then they started hiring out to private companies. I think that's what I heard.
Well, wait a minute. When did all this take place? Where did you read it?
I didn't read it. I thought that's what I heard David share in the morning.
I don't know about that. I didn't hear him say anything about the Air Force, but he might have. I could have missed that. Did he
He
say
did.
that? Did he say that somebody else took it over after the Air Force was found out, or what?
That's what I recall that he said.
Okay. I must not have been listening. Must have gotten distracted. All right. In any case, Lord, wh whoever's doing it, we'd like for them to get caught, get stopped in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? I was kind of waiting on Debbie to come on. She had a vision last night at our meeting over here. And that was Monday night in the morning. Excuse me. I'll get it right here in a minute. Yeah, man.
Well, it's not necessarily a prayer request, but maybe some guidance from my family here. So the Lord, well, I've been sort of kicking myself in the shin lately because I haven't been as active as I used to be. I've gained a bit of weight, and it's kind of, a little discouraging. I used to be a pretty active young man with all the sports and working out, and I got saved, and I got, had other interests. I think we all know. And I put on some weight, and I don't like it. Karen's been kind of bugging me. Well, bugging me. She's been asking me very politely that if I could go to the gym with her and we could do that together. And I said, sure. And then I really thought about it, and I was like, well, why don't I just start, getting back on to at least a routine again? Because I kind of miss it. I really do enjoy doing it. And I've been trying to not put laws on myself because I feel like I was kind of putting that on myself for a bit. And I did a workout today. It kind of dug into my reading time, but I don't know. What's everyone's thoughts on that? It's a bit I don't want to like condemn myself or anything. It's not like I'm gonna be getting as into it as I'm used to. I used to be all about that, and I've definitely recognized the spirit of pride and all the other spirits that come along with that lifestyle, because I still see it in my friends, and I still see it in the people that I used to watch on YouTube that did it. And I don't know, just I know that there's like the balanced life that we need to have in the flesh. Like we're not balancing it. We're all doing it for God, and I want to have a healthy body for God because I'm his temple. And I know he keeps us healthy. But what's any does anyone have a comment or
Teresa has. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, I'll try to be quick. There was a time when I was a bit overweight and I started praying, God, I need to lose some weight. And then lo and behold, my husband at the time wanted to get a dog. And so I said, well, I don't want a small dog. I want a big dog because I want to be able to, do things with the dog, like run, walk, and, just do things. And so he ended up getting a German Shepherd. I have a story about that German Shepherd too, but I don't have to say it here. But I got rescued by a German Shepherd. So just right out of the blue too. And so I said, okay, let's have a German Shepherd. So we got a German Shepherd. Well, we got him as a puppy, 4 months old. Well, you gotta socialize him. You gotta take him out to, I was living in the city. And so at the time, and you have to socialize that dog. You gotta get out with that dog and do things with that dog, and you gotta develop a relationship with him. And a 4 month old puppy, I mean, they wanna play bite and they wanna wrestle and they just you're their you're their companion. They want to do that with you. And so I ended up losing weight pretty quick. And and because your dog is your lifelong companion, I had to do this every single day. And so I had I had bow for 2.5 years, and then got Arrow, had 12 puppies, and I ended up being able to keep one puppy. Had to go through divorce, had to give up the shepherds, and but I was able to keep one puppy whose name was Sar-Ra'am, and he was the biggest and the most ferocious out of the bunch, but he's the one that chose me. 12 years later, I still have to, I was doing everything with him. And so, and I was doing everything for him, he was a big part of my life. So when you have something that means something to you, it makes you make the effort to get out and do something with that being. And so that worked for me. And then now that both shepherds are gone, both Ami and Nini, Ami was his nickname, and Nini, what I'm doing now, now that it's spring, Jesse has 5 acres of land that, but he works full time. He can't develop his, he only has been able to develop a part of his land. And he wants to give me a part of his, a little part of his land too, for a guest cabin. And so, well, that part, I mean, it was just bare, undeveloped land filled with weeds, noxious trees, noxious thorny trees. I had to clear all of that out. So, and I'm still doing it, but I got most of it. I got a lot done, and I got planting areas in there. I have fruits and vegetables now in there coming up now because I went out and I dug the ground. I cut, I, cut the, use my chainsaw, cut the junk trees, cut the poison ivy trunks, cleared out the poison ivy. And so, got the cardboard to, no money. So, but the dollar store had cardboard that they threw away. So I was able to get loads and loads of cardboard and cover that acre, about half an acre now, but I want to cover more. And then put wood chips on top of that. Well, that cleared out the weeds. So, in other words, what I'm saying, get into something that means something to you. And for me, I mean, it's heavy work. I go out and collect, the stones here in the creek and the field. They're flat, and so I'm able to go out and collect field stones and make, steps down the slope, and then make sidewalks with that field stone. It's really pretty, and so it just be and I love doing it. Find something that you love doing it. And for me, I'm so sore from that heavy lifting. So it, that's what gets me slimmed down.
If you run out of things to do, David's got 10 acres of woods here. He needs probably cleared out. You could
Oh, I'd be
help.
glad to. I'll be glad to. It'd be
Well,
fun.
okay. All right, go ahead, Julie.
Well, Ben, sometimes I don't know where you work out at. I know you can go to the gym because Karen's asked you to go. But if you're home working out, if you're just doing it by yourself and you're getting kind of getting back into it a little bit, as you're working out, you can still be listening to like Bible studies or listening to audio Bible or something like that, and meditating on the word, that kind of thing. As you are just, doing your reps, whatever it is you're doing, to kind of keep your head, focused. And this is just a thought you can do. I mean, when I'm here at home, I play Bible studies while I'm cooking, while I'm cleaning. I've done that when I've been, working out on, on the floor and that kind of thing. Exercising and that kind of stuff. I'll have something feeding my spirit man, while I'm doing other things. So, I know that scripture, and I know we all know that scripture about bodily exercise is good, but whatever, Godliness with contentment is great gain. Anyhow, it's about, it is about discipline, and it is about, balance and that kind of thing. But, I think that if you ask the Lord in sincerity, with an honest heart, and ask him what he wants, you to do. How to do it. He'll give you ideas, and you can put things out to him, and say, well, about this, Lord, or I don't know, that's just what was coming to my mind, and that's what I do for myself. It's just having something playing, feeding my spirit man while I'm working or doing whatever it is. Just my thoughts.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm glad Ben asked that question because I've been retired for a few years now, and I think I'm putting on some weight too that I don't like seeing. And I like going biking in the summertime on my pedal bike, eh? And I have to get it all tuned up, and I think it has a flat in it, so I guess I have to fix it. Maybe that's a bit of exercise, just fixing it. I'm getting so tired that it's hard for me just to even pump up the tires. I'm not used to being in enough, I used to have houses and stuff, and I used to love doing the yard work and stuff like that, Don't tempt me to come over to Tennessee to do your yard work. Anyway, I had a job where I lifted a lot of paper, literally a ton of paper, not a ton at once, but a little at a time, and it was good exercise for me, and it kept me active. And I love reading the Bible, but you got to get moving around too, and you find all the stupid time to waste on YouTube and stuff. Maybe you should do something. And pray to God, something you can maybe bring some MP3 player or whatever to listen to some Bible studies while you're going on the bicycle. I don't know if that's allowed though, because you don't want to get hit by a car. But I used to take my bike, go down to the river, and open up my Bible and read it on the chair there. And even had a bit of a time to talk to some people down there. And I usually just try to talk people my own age. I don't want to talk to anyone younger because then they think you're a weirdo. But if you talk to someone pretty much your own age, it's better. Anyway, I want to get back into that, but I got to get the bike going. So, I used to like weightlifting too when I was younger. And Ben's got a hard job too. He's got to keep in shape. He's got to lift those furnaces for the guy. You don't want to pull out a back or anything. I tend to know how it is when you get to be a little bit older, like Ben is now. And you got to keep in shape. Don't use me as an example, Ben. And I'll feed you when you come over on Thursdays and stuff.
You'll help him out.
I did. I went to the store and bought all this food, and now someone's got to eat it, So I sometimes, my eyes are bigger than my stomach, and I go, "Oh, that's on sale. I got to get that." And you end up with these cheese-covered buns, and. And then you go, now what am I going to do with all this food? Anyway. I just would like to pray. And I hope people would add on to this prayer about having an open door for us, for to share the gospel, to have the Lord open this door for us. Because the apostle even asked for it that way, and we should ask for that to have the door open, especially for family members. I don't know how much, I know you've been praying for them to be saved, but could we not have enough word in us to actually witness to these people? And it's far better if they come and ask you about it. So that would be really great as an open door, because then they're curious. And the fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing, and it can help people very much so. So, Father God, I pray that you would open a door for me and my brothers and sisters here to share the gospel of salvation for the first time to some of these people. And that this wouldn't be the last time you would see this person. So I stress that it would be someone close, because they're going to need someone to grow them up in this and to warn them how to keep their salvation. So, Lord, open the door for me and my brethren here to share the gospel, to share a word of encouragement, a word of correction. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, let that be our prayer every day that we get out, is that you'd run somebody in front of us that would like to hear the gospel. We praise you for that, Father. Not only that, the needful people that are all out there, we could just place it in our heart to walk up to and say, you know, God sent me over here to pray for you, and I pray for you. And then watch God work. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Benita, go ahead.
Well, Ben, it sounds like you need a pet, a lawn, and some headphones. So you could start there. Go for a walk every day, mow the lawn. But I have all those things, so I keep pretty busy over here. But I still was having issues like you are. And I don't know, this doesn't work for everybody. Everybody's in a different place in life. And what I started doing, I just kind of said it. I just had this habit of just eating and snacking all day long. I don't know, bad. It was really bad. So I just the Lord just helped me just, you know, I just only eat between 1 and 5 during the day, and that's it. And I don't eat before then. I don't eat after that. Anything between 1 and 5. And I didn't make it a law. Like if I go to my mom and dad's and they eat at 7, then I eat at 7, whatever, you know. But that's my general guideline, is just try to eat between 1 and 5 every day, and that's it. So that's helped me out, just helped me focus and doesn't get in the way of me studying or anything like that. So that's just what I did. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, me too. I got a little bit different hours than yours. Mine's 6 to 12 at night. Anybody else? So what I do, Ben, is when I do like most everybody else, I put the earplugs in, these wonderful earplugs, and they fit my ear perfect, and I go walking, and I love to do that, and I listen. If I'm listening to music, I'll sing in the spirit. Yeah. And or pray in the spirit, or listen to a Bible study. Just depends on, you know, what I needed to do at the time, and it makes the time go by. And I always ask the Lord to go with me. I always say, "Come on, Jesus, let's go walking." And it's just a long time with alone time with you and the Lord, and it's a lot of time, just very very. Nice, I should say, in the spirit. Go ahead, Teresa.
I used to also, when I was younger, do something like that. When I was living in the city again, they had a walking path that went clear out to the lake. And so at the time, I was learning Arabic. So I would, and at the time, at the time, you know, they had, I don't know, I forget, I had a player. So I was able to listen, and I had the Arabic and English. So I would, so they would speak the Arab. So I would be walking to the lake, and then I wouldn't go, you know, go to the highway that goes to the lake, but I would just, it's about a 3 mile walk. And so I would be listening to my recordings of the English Arabic. So it would be Arabic and then the English word, or the English word and then the Arabic word. And at the time I was also studying with and then later on I was also studying with Arabic ladies that had come in from one came in from Saudi Arabia, one came in from Iran, and they were studying at the their they and their husbands were studying at the college. And so and I wanted to learn some more Arabic, and so they would do the they had a workbook, and they would go through the workbook with me, and I was getting pretty far in it. But then life happened. My grandson was born, and I had to take care of him. So, and then I kind of lost the language. So, but anyway, that's something you can also do is, if you're interested in learning another language, take long walks and listen to the, that language and the English. So I learned pretty good that way.
See. All right. Who's next? Yeah, anything like that, just to keep your mind occupied, to doing whatever it is that you need to do. I like to work out too, Ben. I work out with weights also. I don't get to do it every day, but I try to. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
So, Ben, do you know why Karen asked that question?
Well, she's also she wants to lose weight, and she's a social girl, so she likes to do things with people, and she asked me.
So, as the Lord leads.
Yeah. I was just, sorry, go ahead, Pat.
That's all right.
I was just, I guess I put myself on a mental block of like, don't get distracted, do your studies, read your Bible, don't let things get distracted in your mind. And I think that it kind of put me in an legalistic mindset. And I'll confess to that. I'll confess that in front of you guys. I kind of put myself into a corner of just like, it has to be done this way because, that person does it this way, or I don't think that person does it like that. So maybe I can't do that anymore. Or I see the wrong that people in the world do when they do this. So maybe I shouldn't do it. And, I guess that kind of just manifested something wrong in me. And, if I do it, what does it say in Colossians there? Colossians 3:17. I wrote something down. How are we going to work Jesus in all I do? Do it all in love and selflessness, no matter what it is, work like I am doing it for God. And I wrote down Colossians 3:17. I don't know the verse off the top of my head, but I wrote that down in my notes here. I think I know what it says in the verses, but I put myself under legality that's saying I can't work out because it'll take me away from God, and that's not good. So maybe I should rebuke that out of myself next time I get that mindset. I don't know.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I would say to be a kind of a guide for that is put the Lord first. Make sure you have your time with the Lord first. And I know with me sometimes there's, in the back of my mind, and I have to like say go away, something I know I want to do or I need to do later in the day, and I might maybe cut my time short with the Lord, or maybe not. Maybe it's just that, I just got to make sure that I'm, spending the amount of time, and it doesn't have to be, the same amount of time between such and such a time every day, because then that's legalism too. It's just my thought. But always try and put the Lord first in your day is the biggest thing. And I know personally, it's good for me to not just have one time during the day that I spend with the Lord or read the word. It doesn't have to be a huge long period. It could be multiple times a day. But I found that it's best for me to make a couple times during the day at least, to be in the word and having time with the Lord or whatever. Excuse me. So there's just some thoughts.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Julie.
Just another thing that was coming to my mind, and just Missy kind of hit on it just a little bit, but when I was in the workplace, I worked with some younger men and stuff, but they were, I mean, these guys were about, bodybuilding, and I mean, they were, it was like, it's like an idol, it can be like an idol, and but you can set yourself on limits to that, like, giving yourself time every day to be doing something physical. I mean, like a 30-minute brisk walk is supposed to be extremely beneficial to your body. And you can be playing music or whatever, or just praying in the spirit as you're doing that, or whatever. But going to the gym and things, you can just set time limits on yourself and how much time you do it and how many days you do it. And just ask the Lord what's right for you about that. Because he knows your work schedule, he knows, how much time he wants you in the word and that kind of thing. So I would just go before the Lord and just say, what do you want? Help me make those decisions, because it is, it's important. I prayed about that myself. It's like, Lord, I'm not meant to just sit on my bed all day and do this and do that. I need to exercise my body. That's what it's for. It's not meant to just to be sitting idle and things. So we need to move. So anyway, it's not wrong. And I just think you just need to ask the Lord how much time every day to focus on doing that and what he wants you doing. And he'll show you. This is more thought that was coming to my mind.
Amen. All right, Benita.
Yeah, I was just remembering. I mean, boy, if you were trying to get rid of distractions, then nobody would have kids, because they're very distracting, and you gotta. Lord wants us to multiply and fill the
Boy, you
earth.
pegged
So,
that one.
so I
Oh,
just remember
boy.
Tiana saying one time, the Lord wants me to spend time with David, and he wanted her to be spending time with her child, and that was worship to him, something like that. And that really just struck me. It's like, okay, I can do things to spend time that, that is a form of worship. It can be, you can be worshiping the Lord as you're working out, because you're, like you said, it's, his temple. So that is also, for him, a way of taking care of his temple. So, but yeah, there's lots of distractions, but there's some of them are good.
Amen. Yeah, I like that distraction of the kids. And then when I get tired of it, I could go home. That's what I like. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? There's all kinds of ways you can slim yourself down. Just whatever you like to do. I
Just
don't
on
like
an
that.
offshoot of kids there, there's this one place, like there's this big maze you can climb up and go through. I remember taking Ben and Megan to this maze. That was a workout to go and try and catch them after to go home. I'm going through the parents go through the maze too, and then it's like even 3 stories high, and you're trying to catch these kids. And that was a good workout for me. I don't know, maybe the grandchild gets a little older. I don't know if I'll go through the maze. Anyway, parenting could be good exercise in that way when they get a little older anyway, and chasing them around. Oh yeah, it's for young people anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, you got a bunch of suggestions there that I'll y'all pick one out there, or a bunch of them. Okay. Well, I'm glad Debbie made it. Debbie had a vision this morning in the Zoom meeting, and I'd like for her to ex explain how it all transpired. And, just talk about it. We can hear you a lot better if you'll unmute.
Yeah. Are you going to read it? Because like tells you in there how it came about. But I would like to say that everything being talked about has a lot to do with that, and like I think the important thing he wants to get at is like yeah, we don't have to just sit around all day, but put him first. Put him first. And then things we do are things we can do. We can keep our maybe try to keep things that can keep our thoughts on him and meditating on things we've read in the word and just things that are beneficial, But putting him first. And I'd like to share a verse I got later. I realized I didn't ask him. I just felt I should have asked him for a verse for that. So I did later, but I was so busy with correcting and stuff. I got so tired. So I thought, okay. I said that I didn't even think of it. But what I got was just amazing. I landed in my concordance in Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet. Meet was the word in that concordance. The bridegroom. So he wants us to do things that are going to help, to be attentive to do things that are going to help us be ready and prepared to meet our bridegroom. So not things that are not beneficial. And he's really been speaking to me a lot and convicting to me a lot. That's why I believe it was directed to me very much so to not spend so much time in things that are not beneficial. Like things on the phone and stuff like that, and I try to fit the Lord in, but I realize that He wants to be first. You can't start your day doing other things without, just thinking that Zoom is enough. Got to get in the Word for myself, and so He was really speaking to me a lot. And anyway, and that's why I think He just able to give me that vision like that. I know what he was, anyway. So I don't know if you wanted to read it, Michael. Is that just kind of
You can
that's
either
how it
one's
came
up.
about this morning, but also it came about by me, I think by Lord preparing me to receive it too, receive that for
You want
myself.
to read it or you want me to read it?
Oh, you. I'm asking if you would.
Okay.
You
All
read
right.
please.
All right. Then I will, let's see. She says, after the Zoom meeting this morning, I got in front of my computer to finish up a timestamp assignment that I had been working on. She's working for the ministry. I laid my head back as I was listening to the audio. After just a few minutes, suddenly I had a vision. I saw Jesus. I only saw the right side of him at first, and it wasn't lit up like with a bright white light. It was just kind of shadowy looking. I watched his feet walking very slowly toward me, then turn and stand in front of me. I knew that he wanted me to come before him. So I got up from what I was doing, laid out my blanket that I use, and got down before the Lord to worship him. I wanted to enter into a real time of worship of him. And so I was just reverently repeating his name over and over. All of a sudden, I heard, "Holy are you, Lord." I knew it sounded like a song title, and I knew the Lord wanted me to worship him. So I looked on my phone for a song with that title. I also knew that this was not the time for searching on my phone for a right song. And the first song that came up was, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord." So I began worshiping Jesus with that song. There was such a holy awesomeness that fell with that song. I felt the holiness of the Lord just covering me. The next song title I heard was, "I Live to Know You More," which put such a deep desire in me to get so close to Jesus, to know him so much more than I ever have. And the third and last song title I heard was, "His Love Endures Forever." When I finished worshiping to that song, I kept worshiping Jesus in awe of him, telling him, "Lord, your name is being worshiped in heaven forever, on and on and on and on. Your holiness and your holy name, Jesus, is being heard throughout all of heaven, being worshiped and proclaimed forever and ever by all your holy angels and all your saints before your throne." Suddenly, the vision of Jesus continued. I was not seeing his face, I was just seeing the right side of his body again. Then he turned toward me, and I could see from the bottom part of his neck and his shoulder on down his left side, my right, and on down to about the middle of his robe. And then Jesus held out one hand to me, and then he stretched out both hands to me. And then all of a sudden, he was holding a scroll and handing it out to me. And suddenly, the scroll turned into a Bible. It was closed. And then the Bible just fell open. And there was a bright light shining off and up from the pages. And then suddenly, the bright light turned into a flame of fire. That was the last of the vision. I was now in tears, really overcome by all of this, and worshiping Jesus and expressing to him, "Oh Jesus, you are the Word. Your Word was in the scrolls that have become the Bible that we use today. Lord, your Word that we say too casually every day should not be just something to do in order to take up some of our time, or something that we read simply to be right with you. It's your very life. It's a light. And it is the fire you want us to allow to consume us." And so I just had to repent and acknowledge before him that I'm not in his word as much as I want to think I am. Lord, I want all of your life and light. I want the fire of your word to consume my little life so that I can be big in you. And he's saying, not just to me, but to all of us who need to hear this. Again, I say to you, stay in my life and light and fire. My word to you, dwell there, for there I am, your Jesus. You must be overcoming the distractions in your life that you feel you have a right to. For no, you do not. You do not have a right to put your distractions and your fleshly enjoyment before me. I am your enjoyment. And it's always been my plan. I give you myself. I give you my life. I give you my word to distract you away from the distractions of your fleshly pleasures and enjoyments. Yes, I have given you much to enjoy. I am your God of love. I love to see my children enjoying wholesome things. But have you noticed that I have taken a lot of that enjoyment away from you? It's because, my children, the time now is crucial. This is the crucial time. You will not know how to handle it. And you will not know how to help others handle it if you're not enjoying all of my presence, finding what is my pleasure and being consumed by my life. There was not time for leaders of the flesh who had forgotten their goal and are no more. Don't forget your goal, the goal of the high calling of your God in me in heavenly places. You don't want to be a distraction to others. I gave up all earthly and fleshly pleasures for the life of the Father, so that you could know my life in the Father. I gave up my life to offer you that prize. I am handing the prize over to you. Go for it. Take it. Run after it. And don't stop until you receive the crown. This is my calling for you, my children, my sons and daughters of the kingdom. Do not stop hearing and responding to my call. Very soon is coming the chosen. My children, I desire it to be you. And this is why I continue to speak to you, to correct and admonish you. It's for my glory, who I choose to be the glory of my name on the earth. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Lord, I thank you for your words of correction to us, and I praise you for it, Father, because all you want is for us to draw near to you and to stay in that realm with you all the time. And that's where we all want it, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you are now tugging on our heartstrings to do that and to not be distracted by the worldly things that hinder our walk. That the only thing that matters now is you and what you want for us. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. Whatever that might be, Father God, let it help us to get rid of the world, the flesh, and those things that hinder us in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Yeah, Julie.
Just kind of after I read that word that Debbie posted and was meditating on it and just repenting for having, you know, being distracted and letting that get in the way and stuff. And then I had to, you know, things I had to do and get in the shower and stuff. But I always put on, you know, praise and worship music. And the song that came up, not immediately, but I know it was the Lord, you know, because I just had it on random, is the song, I Miss My Time With You. I don't know if you're familiar with that song. It's, I'd like to play it with, you know, because it was just like, okay, Lord, I know, and I want to be at your feet, you know, and I can't serve, I can't do the things I need to do without being, you know, with you and in your presence and getting filled and edified, you know. So I know Matt Mann has something, but I would like to play the song at some point.
Okay, we'll play it here a little bit. Go ahead, Matthew or Anna.
It's me, Michael.
Okay, Anna.
I thought I could share a correction dream about distractions that I just had because I thought I went with Debbie's. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead.
In the dream, it was just a couple nights ago. In the dream, I was like back home where I grew up, and when I was growing up, we had sheep, and I would put them away at night, you know, to protect them from predators. And so in the dream, every night as I put them away, I realized they were more and more like nasty looking. They'd been being attacked. There was like flesh hanging off of them, and I mean, it was gruesome. It was so bad. In the dream, it was pretty normal. Oh, okay, they don't look so good. But when I woke up, I was like, man, those were some gory, gruesome images I saw. And there was a couple sheep that were like beyond even being able, what could be livable. They were like so torn up that it wasn't even livable. And I thought, wow, I've not been taking, you know, I should have been watchful over them. Like, how was this happening that, you know, I was not paying attention, you know, what's going on with them all day. And I was thinking, well, first off, I can't let them out of the pen, you know, the next day they got to heal. But second off, I need to be watching over them. And as soon as I woke up, the Lord gave me the interpretation, obviously for me, and I don't know, maybe others, but that I was being distracted and not praying for the body. I knew the sheep represented the body of Christ, and they were, you know, God's people are out there, they're suffering, they're being attacked, and what have you. And I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing, basically. And I was being distracted. And so I praise God for the correction, and I'm also trusting that he's going to give me the wherewithal to do and be what he wants me to do and be. But there's the dream. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us all to not be distracted, Lord, to be aware of the body and the brethren. Lord, so many people are out there. They're hurting. They're dying. They're being attacked. They're struggling. Lord, give us that heart that you have and show us every day, Lord, every moment, who it is that you want us to pray for. And I just thank you for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for these dreams. They help us. They help us. You wouldn't give them to them if you didn't want to help us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? Thank you for your word, Lord, that draws us to you. In Jesus' name. Praise God. All right. Anybody got anything you want to talk about? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, when you read that, Michael, I thought of the two people that were walking with Jesus, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke with us?" And I sometimes wonder, you know, that when we go into the Word and it's like talking to God when you read the New Testament. And you know, I remember those days where you would have that verse and it would mean so much to you, and you'd get all fiery on the inside by it. And are we being complacent? Are we forgetting to do things? You know, being a singular person here, you know, you might have a little bit of motivation, Michael, yourself from David, and David will motivate you, and you have other people around. But you know, it's nice to be in the company of two, even, or I don't know how many people are there where you are now, Michael, but it's good to have something, you know, something that might remind you, or something, you know, a little piece of art or something that has a scripture verse on it or something.
Yeah, well, that's just there's three of us. It's me, David, and Jesus.
Yeah. And
But you're right, it helps. It helps both of us.
And So I thank the Lord for this, these two, the dream and of course the words from Deborah from the Lord. You know, I give the Lord the credit for it, because we want our hearts to be motivated. We want to be a remember the lost, remember the brethren and stuff, you know. And it, like, we got some people really suffering badly overseas, you know, we think it's the complacently because we don't really see that here. And we got even just men suffering everywhere, you know, and from the basic things they go through. And, well, the Lord knows what he's doing, and he's going to help us all, and he's going to do what's right. And I know that to be true, but we still have to, we still need to be motivated for it, you know. And I just pray that, you know, we get a more youthful desire. I don't know if youthful is the right word, or just more compassion of having the fire of the word come into us, and to get all the wood, hay, and stubble out. Praise and glory to God.
Yes, that's it right there. Get rid of the wood, hay, and the stubble out of our life. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Excuse me. One thing that kind of leapt out at me in that vision of Debbie's, and unfortunately, I didn't listen to, I mean, I wasn't concentrating on the rest of the vision, but when, I think when she went to, was it open the Bible? And a light or something come out of it. Michael, could you read that? Or go ahead, Debbie.
No, but it was Jesus. He opened the Bible. First it was closed, and then he didn't open it, but it just fell open. Just fell open. And there was a light that came up out of it, came up off and up out of it, off of it. And then, then there was a fire. So that's how that was. But he can read if you'd like him to read it.
Yeah. What, the thing that came to my mind when I saw that was, or when you said that, or is that scripture, and I'll just pull it over. In Psalm 138:2, "138:1, I will give thanks with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praises unto thee. I will worship thy holy temple and give thanks unto thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And as I was seeing, you know, the Bibles that flopped down, and Jesus, and that light coming out of there, I was just thinking that the Lord wants us to trust in the fact that that word He has magnified it. He has magnified it above his name. There's something important in that. Because it is that very word that he placed in us through his spirit. That when we receive that word, we received all of it. I'm thinking of that. Verse in James 1:21. This is another one that came to me. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And it's that word implanted, which it makes me think, how can we receive something that's already implanted in us? And I believe that it that God placed his word within us in the spirit of Jesus, and then that word is in us. It just hasn't come out of us. And I guess even in that verse in James 1:21, which is able to save your souls, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. And so, this morning I was drawn to these verses in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith. And every one of us know this by heart. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. That we should walk in these. And those good works, I believe he implanted in us in Christ when that word, he put that word within our heart and we received it. And somehow, through the, I guess the releasing of that word being applied to a particular need brings forth a good work, good being. It comes from the word of God within you and manifests in that process somehow. And I don't know if I'm making sense or anything, but it's like the Lord has had pointed us back to that Bible, that word. And that word, the light coming out of it And then the fire, I'm not sure how that connects or how that manifests or makes the connection there. Maybe Debbie can tell us what she was thinking when she saw it or whatever. But anyway, I just yeah, I have to think about that. That's, I mean, it's just I feel like it's very strong that, the Lord wants us to be confident that He supports and backs up that word, because it is He places it higher than His name. Now, I don't know how that can be, but there's an impact there somehow. There's a significance there somehow that I know I have to lock into. And I believe that as we continue on, the Lord said to those disciples that believed on Him, "Truly, if you continue in My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So, anyway, thank you, Lord, for blessing us with these dreams and visions. We just praise you, Lord, that you are that we are your workmanship and created in Christ Jesus for good works, your good works, those works motivated by your spirit and your truth, and we thank you for it. Praise you for the work that you are doing in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord. All right, Teresa.
I just want to add a little bit to that. In Proverbs 4, where it says to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of, let's see, where is it at? Protect your heart. Okay. Keep, it says in chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And the main thing was, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it literally are the issues of life. So when you're planting the word of God concerning life into your heart, well, out of your heart literally are the issues of life, and so on. If you're planting the word of God concerning joy, love, prosperity in your heart, literally out of your heart are the issues of life. But you got to plant it in your heart. But God also plants it too when you have no way to, because also in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that the Holy Spirit puts gifts in. 1 Corinthians. Is it 12? Yeah, 12. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." There, so the Holy Spirit is putting in the diversities of gifts. The Holy Spirit's putting in the differences of administrations, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which is working all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, so it's the Spirit given the manifestation, given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all of these are working by that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing. The Spirit divides to every man severally as the Holy Spirit wills. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And then it goes into, about the body, how all the bodies are, the members, are joined into the body. So that backs up what Pat is saying, that God put some things there. But also in in Proverbs 4, it also says, you better put some things there too. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, you better put some issues of life in there from the Word of God. And so on. So that's it.
Okay. All right, Missy. Go ahead.
Pat, when you said about, for you have magnified your word above all your name. It took me right away to where I was reading today, and that came to me when I was reading in Real Good News. And if anybody wants to turn to it quick, there's a paragraph I want to read here, and I want to share what the Lord showed me, and it might kind of help you with your thinking about the whole thing, Pat. Anyway, it's on page 323, at the very top, the paragraph that starts. Anybody wants to look that up quick? And this is God's disclaimer and ours. It's the next last chapter. And it says, what pleases God is believers. We are entering into his kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. We are partaking of all of our benefits, which, as we discovered, are in Christ Jesus. We partake of these benefits because we exercise this authority of binding and loosing. We bind the devil and loose the devil. We bind God because of unbelief, and we loose him because of our belief. The condition, the disclaimer is, according to your faith, be it done unto you. We may sometimes desire to go around the authority of their own faith that he has to put in other people, but we shouldn't. We should learn not to, because again, we only bring I mean, blah, 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 I gotta read that over. We should learn not to, because again, we only bring disrepute to the great promises of God. If we do that, Jesus wouldn't go around them, and we shouldn't either. Matthew 13:15. And he did not many works, many mighty works, because of their unbelief. As a matter of fact, the corresponding section of Mark says, and he could there do no mighty work say that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. If Jesus can't, then we cannot. Jesus Christ, with all of his faith, could not give the benefits of the kingdom to these people because of their unbelief. We don't want to spread disrepute upon the gospel by trying to give something to someone who is double-minded and full of unbelief. I tell you, folks, even if Jesus gives you a gift, you can lose it by unbelief because he has no authority to give you something by breaking his own word. And what came to me is this verse, is the last part of that, and it's Psalm 138 too, and it says, "For you have magnified your name above all your, I'm sorry, you have magnified your word above all your name." And what came to me is nature, character, and authority. You know, in other words, and another thing that came to me, and I don't know if you mentioned this verse, not your word is settled forever in heaven. But like we've heard lots and lots of times, this was what came to me. Name means nature, character, and authority. Jesus had no authority to break God's word and give something to someone if they didn't have faith. His faith did, he couldn't use his faith. He didn't have the authority to override someone else's lack of faith. So that's what kind of really struck me was is that his word is settled forever in heaven, and his word is magnified above all his name, all your name, which like I said, the name means nature, character, and authority. And what hit me was authority because he was talking here about authority. You know, Jesus didn't have the authority to break his own word, you know, because he is the word, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. That's what the Lord showed me, and I thought it was quite interesting. And I don't know if that Patrick helps you in that at all, but that's what the Lord showed me about this today. And I was just like, wow. So
So what page was that on, Missy?
323. Real good news.
That the last chapter?
Next to last.
Next to last.
But this chapter, God's disclaimer and ours is really good. It's really good. It's really helped me a lot because David speaks previously on page 321 about also about bringing disrepute to the name of the Lord. To the Lord, because trying to give somebody something when they don't have faith, and you know, we don't want to see someone sick, we don't want to see one bound up with demons or whatever. And I mean, there are cases, but it just made me feel better because it's like the enemy tries to condemn me, you know. At times, and I'm like, okay, Lord, help me get this down in me. You know, I always, what I learned out of this is to always preach the gospel and to someone, you know, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If I don't preach the gospel to someone and let them know that Jesus gave us salvation that covers everything in our life, you know, everything. And I don't need to preach to the choir, repeat We all know what that salvation is. It covers everything. I don't need to itemize it. But anyway, so that by preaching the gospel to them, hearing the word, the truth, that it would give them, hopefully they would have, it would spur faith in them, and it's like, Lord, help me to have discernment of, your leading and discernment of who has that faith and who doesn't, because, I've had to repent for probably well not probably praying for someone I shouldn't have prayed for because they just weren't there and they didn't have the faith. And then when they didn't get healed or delivered or whatever it was, then that brings disrepute to the name of the Lord, is what I'm really learning. And I've kind of realized that before, but sometimes, I feel that sometimes I feel like I'm not doing what I should do, and therefore I do things that I shouldn't do. It's kind of like in my own works, but anyway, so I just felt to share that with y'all. It's really been a help to me. God's disclaimer and ours.
Okay. Let me y'all hold on to what you got there, Debbie and Teresa. I wanted to read what Pat and somebody else wanted me to read earlier, and that was this portion right here. This is down at I sent this to everybody. So this is down close to the bottom of the page, one. And then all of a sudden, he was holding a scroll and hanging it out to me. And suddenly the scroll turned into a Bible. It was closed. And then the Bible just fell open, and there was a bright light shining off and up from the pages. Then suddenly the bright light turned into a flame of fire. And that was the last of the vision. And I was now in tears, really overcome by all of this and worshiping Jesus. Okay. Y'all wanted to hear about the flame of fire, the bright light, the flame of fire that came out of the Bible, and that was it. Okay, Teresa.
I think this might all have something to do with sowing the Jesus' parable of the sower. When anyone hears in Matthew 13, 18, where Jesus expounds on it, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed in the stony places, the same as he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it, yet has he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So I just wanted to bring that out into the mix too.
Okay. All right, Debbie.
Okay, first I wanted to just get back with Missy, what she said about
When you present the word of faith to someone who really doesn't believe when they're sick or something like that, I understand what you're saying. This, I'm in the same boat. And then other times that I would know about that and I'm praying with them about their sickness or and I don't pray that prayer of faith, I kind of feel like I should pray that because I have the faith. But if they don't, I've been kind of stuck in that same thing about that maybe I shouldn't because that's happened too, where others have not gotten healed and then nothing was said to me about it. It's kind of left it alone. I felt they're just maybe doubting and so I understand that. Anyway, and then I was thinking about the light and the fire. I don't know, Matt, was that enough? What Michael just read? I mean, Pat. I don't know if you were, I know that the Bible is just the light. It's all light. He's light. The word is a light unto our feet, a light unto our path. And in him there is no darkness but light. And then that fire is just what the word is too, to consume all that wood, hay, and stubble. I'm sure you know that. So I'm just wondering if maybe you didn't know how it fit in with the rest of the body of that word. Is that what it was? So maybe what he read to you was enough.
Well, it's never enough.
I mean to get I mean to know what your question really was.
I don't know that I had a question. It just seemed to impact me. The fact that, well, let me ask you something. Can you just read that last paragraph where that was at, where the word fell open? In that dream or vision?
You got it, Michael.
Muted, Michael.
There's a reason for that. Let's see. The paragraph you're talking about that I just read, you mean to read the whole paragraph?
Previous, yes, the
Okay.
build up to
Yeah.
that.
All right. Yeah, we can do that. Okay. Suddenly, the vision of Jesus continued. I was not seeing his face. I was just seeing the right side of his body again. Then he turned toward me, and I could see from the bottom part of his neck and his shoulder on down his left side, my right, and on down to about the middle of his robe. Then Jesus held out one hand to me, and then he stretched out both his hands to me. And then, all of a sudden, he was holding a scroll and handing it out to me. And suddenly, the scroll turned into a Bible. It was closed. Then the Bible just fell open, and there was a bright light shining off and up from the pages. Then suddenly, the bright light turned into a flame of fire. And that was the last of the vision. I was now in tears, really overcome by all of this and worshiping Jesus and expressing to him, "Oh Jesus, you are the Word. Your Word was in the scrolls that have become the Bible that we use today. Lord, your Word that we say too casually every day should not be just something to do in order to take up some of our time or something that we read simply to be right with you. It is your very life. It is light, and it is the fire you want us to allow to consume us." Praise God. That's what the word does. Glory be to God. Any questions, Pat, as far as what I just read?
No,
Okay.
I'm just thinking, just thinking of it, aching it
Okay.
in, you know.
Okay. You did hear me say that I emailed that to everybody, didn't you? So you should. Okay, good. Okay, Missy, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that the light and the fire that came up from the Bible, the light just it just made me think of God said it says in First John, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So that his the light of his word shines into the dark places of and exposes. And then the fire burns up the flesh, the wood, hay, and stubble, makes me think of God's a consuming fire. And those are just things that came to my mind and kind of thought about a little bit.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
So I just had this so think I'm thinking of what I was said before about this word, this implanted word being in us. And when I'm seeing that flame of fire, thinking of that sa the sacrifices that go into the flesh that gets burned up in the fire. And then I'm looking here in Hebrews 12:25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not when they refused him that warned on earth, much more shall we not escape if who turn away from him that warns from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of the things that are shaken, as of the things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that connection between his word, his implanted word in us, and I'm just seeing as it goes out of us, is a consuming fire that consumes that flesh, and or the flesh that limits that word or wants to hinder that word and burns it up. To reveal his glory. I don't know. I'm just there's good stuff tonight. I'm just making my way through it, you know? Praise the
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Teresa.
And it seems to me that, in at the end of the vision, when the Bible opened up, it seems to me Jesus was opening up himself, his word to Debbie, and his light and his fire. He was opening it up to her. It just seems to me that's what he was doing.
I agree. Yes.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
So, Debbie, in that dream, you said that he, what was it about his left side? He turned to his left side, then held out a hand, and then held out both hands. Was that it? Is there something? Because Debbie looks like she's looking for something. I bet it's that
I don't think Debbie has the word in front of her, what her the vision that she wrote
Okay.
down.
I'm looking for my phone. Oh, there it is. And his shoulder on down his left side. Well, I was seeing from his neck down to his shoulder and down to the middle of the robe on his left side, that's all, which was my right. He's looking at him was the right. I was on the right.
So, was it the left side or the side where Jesus' heart was that he was pierced with the spear?
His left side is the side I was looking at. Yes.
And then he reached out a hand that was pierced and reached out another hand that was pierced.
Was the left hand he reached out first? Yes. And then that. And then he reached out both hands with a scroll in it.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing. That was good.
All right, Julie, go ahead.
I was just thinking about the fire part, and his word is a fire, but I was thinking about his eyes are a flame of fire, and that's what it says in Revelation. His eyes are a flame of fire, and that's Revelation 1:14. And he's described that way again in Revelation 2:18 when he appears to the as the angel to the church of Thyatira. That's how he's described again, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze. And he also tells them in Revelation 3:18, that's Laodicea, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments that thou mayest clothe thyself, that the shame of thy nakedness may nakedness be not made manifest. And anyhow, it's just like his eyes see everything. There's nothing hidden from him. And he is the word, and his word is supposed we're supposed to be consumed with his word. As we consume the word becomes Christ in us. And it does, it is supposed to be, and we're supposed to, I don't know where I read this today, if it was in my work or if it was in my Bible reading, but just think it's in John. I think it was in my Bible reading in John, 1 John 3, about we're supposed to purify ourselves. Using the promises, we're supposed to purify ourselves, and that's just letting the word, again, who is the word, which is Christ, which is Jesus, which is, and he's eternal, that's supposed to purify us. In our obedience, we're supposed to see it as done. And something else that I remember David saying one time is, when somebody can't keep their promise, right? You can't, when you say you're going to do something, you're as good as your word, right? And God can't lie. He is his word, right? His word is promises. He don't lie. So we're as good as our word. And if the word in us is Christ, that's, I don't know. I've meditated on that scripture in Psalm 138 too, about, wow, it's like you hold your word even above your name, because your name is every name that is named shall bow the knee unto the name of Jesus Christ. His name is higher than all. He's all authority, but he holds his word above even his name, because the whole Bible is his word, right? I don't know. There's a lot you can look into meditating on that, but the word is God. The word is God. He knows who he is. You're as good as your word. God's as good as his word. He can't deny himself. Anyhow, those are some of the thoughts were going through my head about the word Debbie got and everything, and then Psalm 138. Well, we can trust his word. And what he says, his promises. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I'm going to read you something I just found in an old notebook of mine. Don't know where it came from, but it kind of fits along with what we just talking about. Is it any wonder that the Christian life is so feeble and fruitless when the very root of the Christ life is neglected, is unknown? Is it any wonder that the joy of salvation is so little felt, when that in which Christ found it and brings it is so little sought after? Until humility, which will rest in nothing less than the end and death to self, which gives up all the honor of men as Jesus did, to seek the honor that comes from God alone, which absolutely makes and counts itself nothing, that God may be all, that the Lord alone may be exalted, until such a humility by what we seek in Christ above our chief joy and welcome at any price, there is very little hope of a religion that will conquer the world. I don't know where it came from, but it's talking about priorities, isn't it? What is your priority? What is our priority? Is our priority to speak and to seek after the Lord? Or is our priority to seek after the flesh? One is the Antichrist religion, the other one is the Christ religion. I just thought I'd throw that in there. And I know that we all want and are pursuing after Christ. And for the most part, we're doing it with all of our heart. And that's what he wants. That's what we need. That's what gains us the favor of God to do what his word says. Matthew 16:24. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Whoo, glory to God. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, I just have a question. What if anyone else has had this question about exactly what does he mean by all our heart, soul? Heart and soul. Whatever that verse was you read, there's a few places where he says different things about doing with our heart and our soul. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul. And you said pursue him with all our heart and all our soul. And that's like That to me, it says saying don't do anything else. Don't do anything else, but pursue the Lord, all your heart and soul. It's almost like there's no room for anything else but just being in the Word of God. So it's pretty deep to think about that. All our heart and soul. I don't think I do it with all my heart and soul. I don't think I pursue Him with all my heart, all my soul. I pray that He will help me do it, and I will know I'm doing that. I need to. At least a lot more than I do now. But thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It's working out.
So when he talks about the heart, what's he talking about?
Good question.
Huh?
I guess it means what we're putting in our heart, what we're putting within us, and that's what feeds our soul. So what are we taking in our heart? Can't be anything of this world at all. It's got to be everything of the Word, which is Him. So I
Go
think
ahead,
this seems to go a
Anthony.
lot further than what we've been discussing.
Yeah.
What
Go ahead, Andrew. Did you have something to say about that? What does the Bible call a heart?
Well, we need to have our hearts circumcised. We've got promises from the Lord, and we do fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you were called. Now, who called you? So, and did us confess the good confession before many witnesses. So, the greatest commandment, what holds all the prophets and all the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And if you follow that one, the second one's going to come. And even toward your enemies, it's going to come. Because the obedience that we need to have to God is high up there. It's the first fruit of the Spirit of God, the love. And with the love, we keep all His commandments. And we need to have those. When He speaks a word, we have to love it. It says there, and if any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Sometimes, when you mess up, you just feel so rotten after you think of all the love you're supposed to have, and you wonder sometimes if God, does God limit grace? If by grace have you been saved? So, you got Paul speaking to Timothy and calls him a little child. My little child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then you got that grace verse that talks about weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Because when Paul was weak, he gloried in my weaknesses, but my grace is sufficient for you. And weakness is an opportunity for God, for Paul. Last time we discussed about Thomas and how God, I personally think he came because he had to prove for Thomas that I will not leave you orphan, and he came 8 days later and did exactly what Thomas asked for. So he strengthened his faith there. And it's supposed to teach us that God is everywhere and in everything so that we can have what he has for us. Even in our weaknesses, he's going to make us strong. And because we are different to God than the rest of the world because of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And though we want to be holy, and he offers holiness as a promise, and we are weak to make ourselves holy, but we are supposed to even have confidence in God's word to the point where we do 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of that flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what are we to do these things, to make gods of ourselves, or isn't the word above his name? Oh boy. It's I'm just meditating aloud here. I'm sorry, you know. And I there is so much to God's word. It brings fear upon me just to know how much strength is there. We know that it opened an entire universe. It made light appear from God himself, and then he made the sun, moon, and stars. This light we have, oh yes, he uses that as an example and a parallel for us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day by day uttereth speech. But when Jesus afore appeared in that day, when Paul went on his road to Damascus, he outshone the noonday sun, and it was a blue sky. Night by night showeth knowledge. There's your sun, moon, and star glory. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, God reveals things to us even when we listen to a Bible study. You know, he mentions a word there, and he mentions it, and you go, well, there's a little piece there that the Lord just showed me on something. And I don't know if we're supposed to mention it or keep it to ourselves or whatever, but it could be personal word for you. Or anyways, we can't underestimate the power of God's word. He called you with his word, and now you're what are you? You're a child of God. That's what happens. See, he created you that day. Now, it's nice to look at the little grandchildren, but you know, it's a new creation you are. He's still creating. He's swapping things out of us and putting in the good stuff, the brand new stuff. I have trouble, so much trouble with this, to try and put my head around it. But my reasoning is you know, like John G. Lake, don't reason, operate in the supernatural, in the spirit. You know, we're supposed to give up. You want to know what happened to me? God took away my YouTube. I used to watch YouTube on Google Chrome. He shut down the whole Chrome. When I went on YouTube, I don't even have Friday. You know, Friday, where I click on the little thing for me to join you on Friday, and I'm going, now, how did I do that? How did I put that in YouTube? How am I going to be doing it this Friday? Oh, it spooked me when I had to phone my software protection company and ask them why this. He took away my Real Player. And it has all the recordings of everything from, and you know, I was sad. I was, you know, my computer is really old, and he's been keeping it for a long time. And you know, I just want the Lord to keep me. You know, I have so many things, and I have to be patient. when one needs to rejoice in tribulation, one needs to be having patience and approvedness and this hope and the hope that put it, it's a lot harder than you think, you know, and it's scary. It's, you know, like, he'll do it. He'll take that out of you. And suddenly, you know, I only used to use Google and as my search engine, but I have a one from my Norton and one from Microsoft, you know, they worked, but I never used, he just turned it off. You know, it works now, but you know, I go up, I went on to see if I was going to be able to go on this Friday, and there's nothing there on the YouTube thing. I'm afraid. You know, it's a healthy fear, because we're supposed to have respect for God, reverence, honor. Honor is a big thing. And it all sort of focuses into the love and all those fruits of the Spirit. You know, my laptop stays open because the hinge is gone on it. That's how bad it is. If I close it, it might not open again. And you do have to look after yourself, though. You have to get some exercise in your body, you know. Because I think I had the same thing Ben had, you know. I made a legalist thing out of it. I said, that's it. I'm going to let my body go. I don't care. I want to read the word. I want to get it right, you know. And, you know, and then I got sidetracked, you know. Oh, I dread the day when someone showed me how to get on YouTube. I wish I never learned it. You know, because I'm not savvy with computers. I panic at... I don't panic. I don't panic at the littlest thing, you know. Another part of my tooth fell out, so that's pretty good. It's not bothering me. So I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for a lot of stuff. And sometimes I wonder what's happening to me, you know. But you can always... I guess I just want more joy in my life, too. Now, that's the second fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of God's Spirit. You got to be happy. You know, are you happy? God's concerned about our happiness in Christ, not the other happiness. He knows all about that stuff, too. When God does it, it's really easy. It just flows wonderfully. When he's in control, it happens. Did you stop the clouds? Did you stop the rain? No, when he does it, you know, I don't know if sometimes, you know, maybe he does want us just to take that for granted, you know? I don't know. You know, there's just too many distractions and interferences that, I don't know. I need prayer. I need prayer. I hope people pray. I hope the people pray for us in from overseas, and I hope we pray for the people to overseas. I'm just so, I don't want to make anyone miserable, but I just want to do what's right, and Lord help us. Be anxious for nothing. He'll do everything beyond what we can think or ask. Okay. It was good news today. I got lots of verses today about the word. Praise God. I actually went on my e-sword and put fire in and see how many places fire showed up. And there's some really good ones there. And when I looked the ones up at Hebrews first, because, you know, those Hebrews, they always had some problems. And Pat read it. And I went, well, I just finished reading it, so he read it to everyone. So that's a confirmation. Anyway, praise God. Amen. The little things make you excited. The big things get you more excited. And we want to be excited, but we want to, I don't know, I guess we should actually expect these things from our Father, who's so strong and mighty. Praise God. Glory to God. Help me, Lord.
Help us all, Lord. All right, we're out of time. Teresa, go ahead. We'll try to get you in. It's just going to be quick.
Okay, well, I think this is for Andrew, Psalm 42, because this is what I heard just a little bit ago. And it says, as the heart pants after, I don't know where my glasses are. Here they are. As the heart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember you from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mitzar. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All your waves and your billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. So I think that's a word to Andrew. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me, and my prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily to me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So I think that was, you know, it. I heard it just a little bit ago. So I think maybe it was for Andrew.
Okay. All right.
I think all there's right. Something there for everyone.
Yep.
You meant for me too.
All right, we're out of time. Y'all be blessed, yeah. We'll see y'all, what's today? Tuesday, Thursday night. Blessings. Is that right? Yeah. Wait a minute. I almost hit the wrong one.